السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, بإذن الله تعالى I am starting a series of khutbas called the six qualities of the people of Jannah, and inshallah over the next few weeks we will go over these. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to inculcate these qualities in ourselves. The purpose of speaking and listening is not to speak and listen, but to understand and to accept and to obey in our own lives. Because unless knowledge is applied, whether it is religious knowledge or any other kind of knowledge, unless knowledge is applied, it cannot do any good. You can know a lot, but what benefits you is only out of whatever you know, what you actually practice. What you don't practice is just stuff, it's just information, but still sits there. And especially in the case of religious knowledge, it then becomes a hujjat against you on the Day of Judgment to say that you knew but you didn't do. And that is a very dangerous situation to be in. The solution to that obviously is not to remain ignorant, to say that, well, let me not know so I don't have to do. That is not a solution, because ignorance is not a defense in law. Knowing is essential, knowing is critical. And only after we know can we apply. So knowing is essential, and then application is even more essential. And that's what I want to remind myself and you as a beginning. Now we talk about the people of Jannah. When we talk about the people of Jannah, who is or can possibly be superior to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? It is about him sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who followed him and will continue to follow him until the Day of Judgment, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the famous ayat of Surah At-Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Was-sabiquna al-awwaluna minal muhajirin wal-ansari wal-ladhina attaba'uhum bi-ihsanin radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an wa'adda lahum jannatin tajri tahtaha al-anharu khalidina fiha abada dhalika al-fawzul azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the meaning of the ayah, and the first to embrace Islam of the Muhajirun and the Ansar, and also those who followed them exactly in deen. Now I have mentioned this ayah in various contexts many times before, and the thing that I reiterate again and again, for which we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, is for his mercy, that this ayah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not introduced this clause, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعْهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ, those who followed them in excellence, those who followed them in al-ihsan, if Allah had not introduced this term, the ayah, this sentence would be complete in itself, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the muhajirun and the ansar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have closed the chapter there, and the ayat would have been complete and correct. But it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left the door of those who will be included in radiyallahu anhu wa radu anhu, those who will be included among those who Allah was pleased with and who were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left that door open till the Day of Judgment and said, who are those people? They are the sabiquna al-awwaluna minal muhajirin wal-ansar, and those who follow them. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Now that is the opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to every person who comes until the Day of Judgment, who accepts Islam, who enters Islam, and who follows the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And that is why this whole issue of Sunnah must be taken so seriously, because this is the root, this is the key, this is the door, this is the way, this is the method, this is the secret that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us of how not only to enter the Jannah, but to be with the sabiqoon al-awwaluna min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. It's not just entering Jannah. It is to be with Abu Bakr and Umar and Usman and Ali wa radiyallahu anhu ajma'in. It is to be with Muhammad wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdausul Ala bi ghayri hisab insha'Allah. Now if that is our aspiration, and that should be our aspiration, because what can be a better aspiration than that? Then the way to reach that is clear. Allah has not left it to conjecture. Allah has not left it to guesswork. Allah has not left it for us to dig deep and to work very hard to find out. It is clearly stated in so many words. And what is to be done? To follow them in ihsan. Tabahum bi ihsan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and the first to embrace Islam, the sabiqoon, the people who were the first to embrace Islam, as-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon, ulaika huwa al-muqarrabun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. These are the people who are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu. So the first to embrace Islam of the muhajirun and the ansar, and also those who followed them exactly in faith, in ihsan, to the level of ihsan, level of excellence. Allah is well pleased with them and they are well pleased with Allah. This is the certificate of pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rida of Allah jalla jalaluhu that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah said, He has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow to dwell therein forever. Khalidina fiha abada. Once you go in there, that's it. You are not going to come out. You will not be removed from there. And that is supreme success. In my last khutbah, I think I mentioned the difference between fawz and falah, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this term fawzul azim here, which is success, which is lasting success. It is not success which declines after some time. It is success in the last and final examination, after which there are no tests and no examinations. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this for all of you, inshaAllah. However, in this ayah, as well as in every other place in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised anything for people, He has always made His promises conditional upon our actions and conduct. There is no unconditional promise of reward in the akhirah or even in this world in the Quran. You want something, you have to do something. You can't have what you want simply by wanting. And as they say, if wishes were horses, beggars would ride. If therefore we want to be among the people of Jannah, then we have to ensure that we do what the people of Jannah did. The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We need to develop those qualities that the Sahaba had and make our conduct as close to the conduct of the Sahaba, which led to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being pleased with them. In short, we need to follow the one who the Sahaba followed. And that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For it is his habits and his qualities that are the habits and qualities of the people of Jannah. In following him, inshallah, we will also be included among those who followed him in ihsan. So let us see what the principal qualities are that we can identify from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and try to inculcate them in our lives. Ramadan is a good time to start, and we are like just over 2 weeks from Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Ramadan in a state of health and iman and enable us to take the maximum benefit from this ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the ni'mah of this month of Ramadan. So Ramadan is a good time to reflect on these things and to bring about a habit change that can become a permanent change in our lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us in His mercy, inshallah. The first and foremost of the qualities of Rasulullah and his Sahaba is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there is one quality which distinguished Rasulullah and his Sahaba from all humanity, it was the love of Allah. This is the quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked so much that He mentioned it specifically in His book. And He said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and of mankind are some who take for worship others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as rivals or partners to Allah. They love them as they should love Allah. But those who believe, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything and anyone else. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. And only those who do wrong could see, when they will see the torment, the azab, that all power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah is severe in his punishment. Imagine the honor of it being said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about you. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Ashad is the superlative form of shadid, which means strong, which means something which is the supreme focus, the number one thing that we have in our lives. And what is that? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning about the believers, about the Muslims, about the Sahaba, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu. Now what is the value of that? What is the value of this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does it have any value at all? And if so, what are you and I prepared to pay for this love of Allah? Just think about that. There will be a time when people who do not have this will be asked. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they will be willing to ransom this entire earth filled with gold. But it will be said to them, there was a time when you were not asked for any price for this. It was given to you free, but you rejected it. Let us not be among those who fall into that trap. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. My brothers and sisters, what is that thing which is given us for free? It is the opportunity to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to know and understand that intrinsically this is beneficial for us. To follow the ahkam of Allah is not beneficial for Allah. To follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not beneficial for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is beneficial for us. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gives us something which intrinsically in itself benefits us, and then he also rewards us for doing that. Even if there was no reward, the fact that we were shown a way of life which intrinsically benefits us is reward in itself. But it is the mercy of Allah that he also gives us reward. How can you thank Allah Jalla Jalalu? So what does this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us? And what does being loved by Allah, what does it mean and what does it give us? On the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a hadith which is quoted in Muslim, Bukhari, Malik and in Tirmidhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if Allah loves a slave of his, he calls Jibreel alayhi salam and says, I love so and so, therefore you love him. And he, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, so Jibreel loves him, and then he, Jibreel alayhi salam, calls out in the heavens and says, Allah loves so and so, and therefore love him. And the inhabitants of heaven love that person. And he, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, then acceptance is established for this person on earth. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates a slave of his, then he calls Jibreel alayhi salam and he says, I hate so and so, and therefore you also hate him. And so Jibreel alayhi salam abhors and hates that person. And then Jibreel alayhi salam calls out to the inhabitants of heaven and says, Allah abhors and hates so and so, and therefore you also hate him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, so they hate him, and hatred for that person is established on the earth. And Allah, if you just look at ourselves, and if you look at the people around us, how often do we see the truth of this in terms of what is established on the earth for the people? You have people who in themselves are nothing, but who the whole world loves. And anywhere they go, people love them, and the people honor them, and the people give them all kinds of things which have nothing to do with what they bring. And on the other hand, you have people who on the face of it are great kings and presidents and generals and God knows what, and they have all kinds of wealth and all kinds of power and authority in the world, but there is not one single person on the face of the earth who has anything good to say about that person. Not one person has anything good to say about that person, even though that person has all this wealth and all this power and so on. So where does this love and hatred, where does this acceptance and discarding, where is it established? It is established from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who controls the hearts of people where it resides. And this is the great figment of the imagination. This is the great deception of shaitan. That shaitan tells us that to become popular in the world, we have to please people. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that to become popular in the world, even if that is your intention, which it should not be, but even if that was, then you need to please Allah. Because only if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased, then the makhluk will be pleased. And shaitan tells us the opposite. Shaitan tells, don't worry, displease Allah, no problem. Please the makhluk. Do things so people will like you. Do things so you will be popular with people. Now, brothers and sisters, we have to understand, who do you want to believe? You want to believe Allah or you want to believe Shaitan? Make up your mind. In another hadith of Qudsi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is from Bukhari, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whosoever shows enmity to someone devoted to me, to one of my awliya. And there's a whole lecture of mine on who are the awliya Allah. In short, in one line, every Muslim is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this in the Quran. Every Muslim is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the wali of the people who believe. So if Allah is their wali, they are Allah's awliya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the awliya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. And who are those people? Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. These are the people who have iman and who have taqwa. So any Muslim who has iman and taqwa is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. In this being, in this wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will notice I'm deliberately not using the term friendship, which is what is used generally in translations, because there's no friendship between Allah and makhluk. Friendship means a level of equality, and there is no equality between the khaliq and the makhluk. So the wali of Allah is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves of and likes the most. And these awliya of Allah, of course, there will be levels of to that. Some are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than others. Goes without saying. But it is not given into the hands of people like us to designate a person and say so and so is a wali of Allah and this is the level of that person's wilaya. This is the big problem and this is the big fitna that we fall into. Where we take it upon ourselves to designate X, Y, and Z. And these may be great people. I'm not saying that you are designating bad people. No. But no matter how great and good a person is, you and I have not been given the authority to say about somebody what their position with Allah is. So do not exceed your limits in your love for somebody. There is a famous hadith which again reiterates what I'm saying, where a person died, one of the muhajirun, he died in Medina. And when Rasulullah ﷺ went to that house and he was staying with his Ansari brother, the wife of the Ansari brother, she said to Rasulullah ﷺ, she said, Ya Rasulullah, this man was such a good man that definitely he is from the people of Jannah. And Rasulullah ﷺ's face became red with anger. He said, have you received wahi about this? He said, did Allah tell you that he is from the people of Jannah? He said, do not say that about which you have no knowledge. Say, I ask Allah to give him Jannah. I ask Allah to make him among the people of Jannah. But do not say about somebody specifically that so and so is from Jannah. And by inference, it also means that we don't say about somebody that so and so is from the people of Jahannam. Unless we know specifically that the person died without iman, wallahu alam. Even then, it's not necessary for us to say it because we have not been set for that purpose, to designate people as people of Jannah or people of Jahannam. So to designate somebody as a wali of Allah and to say so and so is such a big wali and so on and so forth is to speak with ignorance, it is to speak without knowledge. All the people, all the Muslims are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Now see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith of Qudsi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah says, whoever shows enmity to one of my awliya, to one of the people devoted to me, I will be at war with him. Allah declared war on only two kinds of people. People who deal with interest and people who trouble the awliya of Allah. These are the only two people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war against. People who deal with interest, bank interest, and people who trouble the awliya of Allah. You ask Allah to save us from that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, my slave draws not near to me. My slave does not come closer to me with anything more beloved by me than the fara'id that I have enjoined upon him. Praying fard salah in the masjid is fard. Not only praying fard salah. Praying fard salah in the masjid is fard. The option of praying other than the masjid is an exception to the rule. It is not the rule. Where is the place for praying salah? The masjid. Not your home, not your office. If you cannot go to the masjid for some valid reason, then by all means pray in your home, pray in your office, salah is accepted. But praying in the masjid is the default situation. And that's why we get 27 times the reward for praying in the masjid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, my slave does not draw closer to me by anything more beloved to me than the duties that I have enjoined upon him. And my slave then continues to draw nearer to me by his nawafil, by what he does over and above the faraid. Nobody gets a medal for doing your duty. You get a medal for doing over and above your duty. If you see the citations for the medals that people get, military medals and so on, it says specifically for doing over and above duty. You get a salary for doing your duty, not a medal. You get a medal for doing over and above your duty. Here we are talking about getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not talking about entering the door. We are talking about going right inside. From taking from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Not just standing on the line. We are talking about raising your hands and asking, and Allah will not refuse you inshallah. For that you have to do a bit more than praying for salah. Praying for salah is the boundary condition. If you don't pray for salah, you are not even in the room. But praying for salah is, you are not going to get any feather in the cap for that. That has to be done. And then we do more. We pray tahajjud, and we pray other nawafil, and we give sadaqat and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and then my slave continues to draw nearer to me with the nawafil, with the supererogatory works that he does, so that I love him. And when I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears. I am his seeing with which he sees. I am his hand with which he strikes and holds. And I am his foot with which he walks. Were he to ask something of me, I would surely give it to him. Surely give it to him. And were he to ask me for protection, I would surely protect him. I do not hesitate about anything as much as I hesitate about seizing the soul of my faithful slave, because he does not like death and I hate to hurt him. One important point to reflect in this Hadith al-Qudsi is that the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will become the hand by which he holds, I will become the eye by which he sees, I will become the hearing by which he hears, I will become the walking and the foot by which he walks, is all for the nawafil. Is all for doing more over and above the compulsory faraid. The compulsory action is a sign of belonging, but it can also be a sign of fear, that a person does the compulsory work only because he fears punishment. It still counts, it's still good, but it's not a sign of love. But all voluntary work is always and always a sign of love. Nobody does something voluntarily that he does not like. You can be forced to do something you don't like, but you will never volunteer to do something that you dislike. I mean, that's logically impossible. So all voluntary work is a sign that you love that particular action. And why you love that action is because you love the one for whom you are doing that action. And that is why the special rewards. And in this light, if you see the famous hadith of Rasulullah, where one day Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she asked him, she said, Ya Rasulullah, why do you stand in salah so long that your feet, your blessed feet, swell with standing so long? Those of us who travel long distance on aeroplanes, you know, if you take your shoes off, you can't put them on. And that's why Crocs are the best invention in the world, because the feet swell. If you are upright for that long, blood collects there. And imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this didn't happen to him on an international flight. It happened to him standing in salah. So how many hours must he have been standing for this to happen? So Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, she didn't like to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in pain. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, why must you do this? Allah has forgiven you. Allah has forgiven all your sins, and Allah has forgiven you in the future. Allah has given you the station of complete and total forgiveness. Why must you do all this? What did he say? He said, should I therefore not be a grateful slave? Should I not show my shukr? If anyone needs dalail for nawafil, I think this is the most powerful dalil that I can ever think of. If there was one person who did not need to do nawafil, it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did them the most. We like to talk about Tarawi. We like to talk about the rakat in Tarawi and so on and so forth. And tomorrow and day after, Saturday and Sunday, I'm doing a class on Ramadan and the fadail and benefits of Ramadan. Please come and attend. Tomorrow, Saturday, it's from Asr to Isha, and Sunday, it's from 10:30 to Zuhr. 1:30, please come and attend. As always, it is free. And you get some tea and samosas as a bonus. So the point is that the only place in the world where you get paid to come and listen. So come and listen, because you will. And then I will tell you about what the Tarawih of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. It's not a question of 8 rakat or 20 rakat. You understand what is the Tarawih, what is the Qiyamul Layl of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now see this love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's love for the slave in the light of the Sunnah. And ask yourself what the proof is that it is necessary to follow the Sunnah to gain the love of Allah and all that goes with it. Ask yourself if you can realistically gain Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's love while disobeying Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or by following His Sunnah selectively, because selective obedience is disobedience. When you are selectively obeying, what are you saying? That you are doing only what you like, meaning that you don't like other things. And you don't like those other things which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala liked for His Messenger Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said in His book, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. In Surah Al-Imran, Allah said, say, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to mankind, if you really love Allah, then emulate me, follow me. Allah will love you and forgive your sins. And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Ittiba is emulation with the only reason that you love the one you emulate and want to associate with him and become a reminder of him to whoever sees you. If someone sees you, they must remember Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Make that your target. If someone sees me, they must think of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is the meaning of ittiba. If someone deals with me, they must remember Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If someone stays with me, lives with me, they must see Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is the issue. And my brothers and sisters, and the only way that will happen is if you look, if you talk, if you walk, and if you deal, and if you are like Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in every respect of your being. Study his appearance and make your own like him. Appearance first, because that is the exterior. That is the packaging which will entice the observer to look inside. Packaging which is the essence of brand. Packaging which is the title of the message you want to give to the world. That you are a Muhammadi. That you are one of the people of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't let shaitan fool you and say packaging is unimportant. Because your whole life is a lie that packaging is unimportant. You live packaging. So don't give me that with regard to the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said the Sahaba, Allah said about the love of the Sahaba for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, An-Nabiyu awla bil-mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is closer, they love him more to the believers than themselves. And this is the statement of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, who is the only one who can make a definitive statement about what is in the hearts of people, because only Allah knows what's in the hearts of people. Love is in the hearts of people. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is saying the believers, meaning the Sahaba, are people who love Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more than they love themselves. And that his wives are the mothers of the believers. And that's why the importance of the Azwajuhum Ummahatuhum, when Allah said these are the importance of the Azwajuhum Mutahara, the wives of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who are our mothers. And therefore the ones who abuse the wives of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they are abusing those who Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala praised. They are going against the Quran. And we know what that means with respect to staying within Islam or out of Islam. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala bore testimony. He was the witness to the love the Sahaba had for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and said that they loved him more than they loved themselves. And that is the standard. To love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anyone and anything, including yourself. That is the standard. You're not doing yourself or anybody a favor by doing that. That is the standard. That is what being Muslim means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterated this in another place in much stronger language, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in, again, Surah At-Tawbah, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, declare this, announce it, that if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your kindred, meaning your family, your wealth that you have been, that you have gained, the commerce in which you feel fear a decline, and the houses, the dwellings that you build and you take a delight in, if these are dearer to you than Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and striving hard and fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about His decision of azab on you. And Allah does not guide the people who are fasiqun, the rebellious. See this ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only made it a condition of belief and iman, that the believer loves Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that he loves him more than anything else in this world, including all those things which are natural and halal to love, like your family and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterated the love for the parents and the izzah for the parents many times in the Quran. But here Allah is saying, if you love them more than you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you love them more than you love Allah, then Allah's azab will come on you. It is not haram to love your family, to love your parents, to love your children, to love your kindred, to love your family, and to love the halal income that you have, or to build a nice house and to thank Allah and look at it and be pleased with it. None of this is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the place for it. None of it is haram. Wearing a shoe is not haram, but putting the shoe on your head shows you have no sense, you are brainless. And if you give an argument to say the shoes cost more than my topi, then what is that an argument? Is that an argument? If you say the shoe costs more than the topi. And today, I don't know how many of you have recently bought shoes, but I was absolutely horrified. I walked out of the shop because of the price of the shoe. It's a question of what you place where. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here. Allah made it a condition that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only we love Him, but we love Him more than we love anything else. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I told you, is very strong language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if someone makes the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam secondary to the other halal things that that it's okay for him to love, but he makes the love of Allah and His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam secondary to that, and doesn't demonstrate that love in his life through his actions, then not only did Allah say that he would be displeased with that person, but specifically discarded that person. فَتَرَبَّصُوا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, حَتَّى يَاتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ. Allah said, get out, go away. We don't need you. And go and wait for the adab of Allah to come on you. So Allah specifically discarded the person, promised his punishment, and promised not to guide that person. Wallahu la yahdil qawm al fasiqin. Allah said, Allah will not guide these people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to get out of this bracket of people if we are in them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this love for the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, specifically in the famous hadith where he said, none of you will become a true believer until I become dearer to him than his own son, than his own father, and more dearer to him than all of mankind. And this hadith is muttafaqun alayh, it is agreed upon, it's in Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasa, Ibn Majah, in all the kitabs of hadith. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? He's showing it as a condition of iman. He says, you are not even a Muslim until you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more, until I become dearer to him than his own son, his own father, and all mankind. obviously includes the daughter and the mother, everyone, until that is established in our lives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayat of Surah Tawbah said this has to be demonstrated in action. It's reported that it's obligatory for the believer to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than his own self, according to another hadith, which is also in Bukhari, where Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Ya Rasulullah," it's a long hadith and there's a whole story with it, which inshallah I will tell you later on some, but just look at the hadith. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than anything in the world except myself." And the statement also shows the ikhlas of the Sahaba. There was not an atom of nifaq in the body of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and in the Sahaba. There was nothing. They what was in their heart was what was the same thing which was on their tongues. Because otherwise, think about it. What is the need for Umar ibn al-Khattab to say, "Accept myself"? Was it not enough to say, "Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than anything else"? That was enough. But that was not enough for Umar radiallahu anhu, because he is stating to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the state of his heart. He is explaining to him what's in his heart. So he has to tell him. He has to tell the truth. What is in your heart? So he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than anyone and anything else except myself." And in this hadith in Bukhari, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied and said, "By the one who in whose hand is my life," Rabbi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taking an oath by Allah. He says, "By the one in whose hand is the life of Muhammad, your iman will not be complete until I become dearer to you than your own self." Now Umar radiallahu anhu said nothing. He went away. And that's why when you read the hadith, you must read the asbab of the hadith. Because the hadith does not tell you this. The hadith is very brief. But if you read the asbab, the whole story, what happened? This is what happened. Sayyidina Umar heard this and he went away. And then he came back after some time. And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, you are now dearer to me than my own self." SubhanAllah, what does it tell you? It tells you the condition of the Sahaba's hearts, how pure they were. Sayyidina Umar went and worked on his heart. He cleaned his heart. And then he came back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam only when he was satisfied with the condition of his heart. Think about this. If this happened to me or you, if he said this to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Your iman is not complete until you love me more," what would I have said? I would have said, "Ya Rasulullah, that's what I meant. That is what I meant. Of course you are dearer to me than anybody, including myself." That is what I would have said. Allah alam about you. But that is not Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab is a man of truth, of haqq. So he goes away. And he comes back and said, "Ya Rasulullah, now you are dearer to me than myself." And then see the end of the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-an ya Umar." He said, "Now ya Umar." Now the muhaddithin in the explanation of the hadith, they have said this "Al-an ya Umar," "Now ya Umar," can mean one of two things. One, it means only now your iman is complete. Or it can mean it took you this long to come here. Only now you understood this. So that's the meaning. Only now you understood this, or it means now your iman is complete. Wallahu alam. Now think about that. Who is this being said about? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, about whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has finished nubuwat, but if Allah had kept nubuwat, then Umar would have been the Nabi after me. About this man, this is the thing that is being said, meaning the importance of the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts. My brothers and sisters, please don't confuse the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with all the kinds of things we do. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love does not mean khawali and nasheed. It doesn't mean singing and dancing in the street. It doesn't mean going and breaking glasses and creating a nuisance on what we call Miladun Nabi. It doesn't mean taking one day out of our imagination and celebrating it as the birthday of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the day on which he was born is not known. There are many different reports about the actual day that he was born. We choose whatever we like to choose. We have no authority and right to choose that. This does not mean the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to become like him, is to look like him, is to walk like him, is to talk like him, is to deal like him. Not do all of these kinds of stuff which creates more nuisance than anything else, because all of these are signs of nifaq. Because a person who sings and the nasheed and sings the naat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and is standing there without a beard is a walking, talking lie. He's talking about the love of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but his face does not show that. You organize a whole Jalsa Miladun Nabi. You have this whole big gathering and Jalsa to celebrate the birthday of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Leave aside whether that is factual or not. But on the stage, people are sitting who have no beards. Which Jalsa? Which Miladun Nabi? Which Nabi? What love of Muhammad are you talking about? I don't have a bawa shop. I'm not promoting beards so that you can come to me for business. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a beard, no fault of mine. You don't like a beard and you are a Muslim, then remember, one day you will go into a qabr and the angels will come and they will show you the face of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will say, who is this? And you will have to say, may Allah put these words in your mouth at that particular time, you will have to say, this is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who I followed. He is my Nabi who I followed. Do you want your face to lie, to give a lie to your words at that particular point in time? Do you want the Malaika to say you are a liar because you say you followed Muhammad? How come your face looks like this? What will convince you? Wallahi Ajib. When I wrote this khutbah, I deliberately did not write the word beard anywhere. Maybe I should have. Seriously, my brothers and sisters, think about this. Think about this. It is not about the beard, it's not about facial hair. It is about what it projects. It is about what you are showing by that. And you are showing that you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I explained to you, the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not optional. It is not a favor that we are doing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is obligatory, it's a condition of Iman, and it's a condition of being one of the people of Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you among the people of Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your hearts with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu and with the love of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make your lives reflections of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which will make you successful in this dunya and successful in the akhirah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.